Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian, Episode 18. I'm Daniel Messer.
I remember when Laura bought these glasses, she loved them.
I was groping for some way to keep Laura's name out of it.
She was always quick to seize upon anything that would improve her mind or her appearance.
There's a fantastic film noir movie from 1944 starring Gene Tierney, Dana Andrews, Clifton Webb, and the great Vincent Price. It's called Laura, and it's about the murder of a beautiful woman and the detective investigating the crime. It's got twists and turns and everything you'd expect from a film noir, including some fantastic one-liners.
Few women have been so beautiful, so exotic, so dangerous to know.
You're Laura Hunt, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm Shelby Carpenter. Want to dance?
I'm not alone.
Oh, you poor girl. I bet he's...
Vincent Price has a line in there that, if the library I worked for would allow me, I'd have printed on my business cards. He says, I don't know a lot about anything, but I know a little about practically everything. If there was ever a line that perfectly described the work of librarians, that would have to be in the top five. After all, we don't need to know everything, we just need to know how to find it.
Miss Hunt and I were going to be married this week, you know.
No, he doesn't know. And neither do I, or you, or anyone else I've.
What do you mean by that?
Beyond that, it describes me perfectly. I am not a clever man, but I know how to learn, I know what to learn, and I know where to find the things I need to learn. I'm not unique, and please forgive me if I'm trying to make myself sound unique. I am, however, trying to call some attention to the unsung hero of not just the library world, but literally in many fields.
Yeah, I was just going to make the arrest when you call. No, I can't tell you now. I'm not alone. You'll see when I come in.
Because in a world of specialists, it's the generalist who occasionally stands out. Cyberpunk Librarian, Episode 18, The Techno Generalist. My name is Daniel Messer, your friendly neighborhood Cyberpunk Librarian, and hey, welcome to the show. On this show, we're going to talk about generalism and why I think it is a wonderful philosophy and how I think it might help you in not only your library life, but maybe in your average run-of-the-mill personal life as well. So, I think librarians are generalists by nature. Sure, you have a subject specialty or a job specialization and all of that. But if you're working on public floor or helping patrons, your generalism is a needed skill, whether you realize you're a generalist or not. You won't know everything about something patrons ask for, but you'll know a little, and you'll know where to find more. I think that too many of us sort of just, you just stop there, and you don't embrace it as a method of thinking or a way of life. So I'm sitting here at my desk, and I'm looking around a little bit, and I've got a bunch of books here. And I'm not making this up. I do have a bunch of books on my desk. And let's see. I've got books on JavaScript. I've got SQL Server 2012, ASP.NET and C#, Cold Fusion, Website Design, WordPress, Web Content and Context, HTML5, CSS3, Graphic Design, Community Building, IIS, jQuery, Website Usability, and stuff like that. So... bit of a technical focus, but there's some variety in there. Now, I've not read all the way through those books, at least not all of them. And I don't always need to either. Sometimes, just like a patron, I just need to know a few facts, a couple of quick things that'll help me, you know, put something together that's bigger. For that, there are tables of contents, indexes, stuff like that. I need to know how to do X with Y. So I pick up that book and search through the index until I find X, and then I read that bit. If I need to know more, I'll read more, and if I don't, well, I guess I can move on, right? That's one of the many perks to generalism. You're not looking to learn everything. You're simply trying to learn enough. As a web guy and library technologist, I regularly use stuff like Aptana Studio, Photoshop, Text Wrangler, Kate, Pixelmator, RDP, VNC, Evernote, 4 different desktop browsers, 2 mobile browsers, 6 different operating systems, including 3 versions of Windows, Kubuntu, OS X, iOS, and Android, IIS, Apache, Visual Studio 2013, SQL Server, MySQL, coding in HTML, C#, PHP, just a little bit of Ruby, some CSS and JavaScript maybe, WordPress, Polaris ILS, Audacity, GarageBand, and Logic Pro 10, Final Cut Pro, iMovie, then the list goes on. This is just some stuff that I wrote down that I kind of looked into my bar and noticed, yep, I've pinned that there, and if I bothered pinning it to my dock, it's because I use it often enough to pin it to my dock. So, am I an expert in any of these things? Well, yes, but only a couple. I could certainly hold my own with Polaris ILS and some operating systems. Goodness knows I know more than your average bear about WordPress. But everything else I know, I just know what I know how to learn more if I need to. I'm aware that I'm not using all the functionality available to me in, say, Final Cut Pro. But most of the time, I don't need that functionality. I'm sure you've run into the same thing, too, where you know what you're doing, you just don't know how to do that one thing. I've always joked that whenever I use Photoshop, I feel like I'm getting $86 out of a $600-and-some-odd program. So, even if you are a specialist, in whatever you're a specialist in, let me help you embrace the generalist view and show you how it can improve your life, and possibly your career too.
I read it, I absorb it, I take it in gladly and cheerfully. I've written more books on astronomy than on any other science, and no one has ever complained that my astronomical books are wrong, silly, anything like that. I've never taken a course in astronomy. I'm completely self-trained in it. On the other hand, I've written relatively few books on chemistry, which is my training. I've got a PhD in chemistry.
That was Isaac Asimov talking about learning things on your own. In his book, View from a Height, Asimov wrote, "I have never been sorry for my stubborn advance towards generalization. To be sure, I can't wander in detail through all the orchard, any more than anyone else can, no matter how stupidly determined I may be to do so. Life is far too short, and the mind is far too limited. But I can float over the orchard in a balloon." So many of us are wrapped up in the things we know and how they relate to our specialties that we occasionally forget there is a great big world outside of our specialty. More than that, the world at large has complex interrelationships with our specialties, and to ignore those, well, that doesn't do anyone any good. See, the world's best neurosurgeon may be absolutely useless when a pipe breaks in their home because they know nothing about plumbing. I'm not a plumber, but I can fix stuff under my sink. Does that mean I'm going to start breaking into the walls to replumb things? No. I'll leave that to someone who knows far more than I do. So, how to become a generalist? Well, there's a few steps, and I'm sure there's more than what I'm going to outline here, but these are the ones that occurred to me when I sat down to kind of bring the show into life, because generalization and generalism is something that I'm very good at, because I like learning things. I don't care to become an expert in everything that I learn about, though. So here's kind of what I sat down and realized is what I do when I'm taking on something new or improving something that I already know. So the first step towards being a good generalist is recognizing your limitations. There's this thing called the Dunning-Kruger effect, which basically says that incompetent people will generally overestimate their skill in something. Michael Stevens, aka Vsauce, has a pretty cool video on ignorance and darkness and how the two are kind of interrelated, and he talks about the Dunning-Kruger effect. I'll have a link to that in the show notes, which you can pick up at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Anyway, you need to avoid the Dunning-Kruger effect at all costs. If you don't know something, you need to realize that you don't know it. And that doesn't mean anything except that you don't know it. You're not stupid, and you're not inadequate. You just kind of have to accept that you don't know something and either learn it or confer with someone who does know that thing. I don't know how to remove someone else's appendix. I don't even know how to remove my own appendix. But I do know the way to the nearest hospital if such a situation ever arises. The generalist knows how to work within their own ignorance. So, back to the plumbing metaphor. If I'm taking a shower and suddenly the wall bursts open and water sprays all over the place, I know I'm going to do 3 or 4 things. We're going to say that the first one is to go shut off the main valve. And then sort of step 1.A is to swear a whole awful lot. Then number 2, I'm going to call a plumber. And number 3, I'm not going to attempt to fix it on my own because I don't know how to do that. So the second thing a good generalist needs, besides just sort of the knowledge of their own ignorance, is a firm grounding in their various subjects. You can't do much with any subject unless you know and understand the basics. Now, take Asimov back there. I, too, have studied planetary astronomy for years. I don't have a degree in it. It's just something that I've always been interested in. I've always been interested in space since I was 5 years old, sitting on the floor in my parents' house and watching cosmos. And planets have fascinated me ever since. So I don't have a degree in planetary astronomy, but I can carry on a very literate conversation about how planetary systems form, about the latest research in exosolar planetary systems and stuff like that. I can talk about the nature of stars and how we can infer certain things about exosolar planets, given information about their star and the radius of their orbit, and stuff like that. I'm not going to bore you with details, especially if you're not interested in this stuff. I keep up with the things that interest me while letting other things fall by the side. That doesn't make any of that less important. It's just that I acknowledge that I won't be a degreed planetary astronomer anytime soon. I acknowledge that I'm not going to really become an expert in this field. I'm just going to learn something about it. But if you know the basics, you can always build from there. Moving on. You need to approach learning with a certain practicality. This last week, I've been looking through a book about Microsoft IIS-8, which is Internet Information System 8, I believe, or Internet Information Server. Yeah, I believe it's Internet Information Server. Either way, it's Microsoft's web server. It's a robust, complex server that can do many things from simple static hosting to dynamic online apps. I need to know more about it because I work with it every day, either directly or indirectly. Do I need to know everything about it? No, not really. I just need to have a good understanding of how it works, how to create managed sites, how to do some basic security things and stuff like that. I'm not a server administrator and I don't want to be. I'm also not a network administrator and I don't want to do that either. I just want to learn more about it because it'll make my job easier, and besides, it is kind of interesting. God help me, as much as a open source guy as I am, I do kind of like IIS. It's a pretty decent web server, and it's easy to use. So, am I going to read that book cover to cover? Hell no. I'm going to get what I need and move on. However, the book will always be there if I need to learn more. 3 weeks from now, I run into some weird issue, and maybe instead of turning straight to Google, I just reach over to the side of my desk and pick up that book on IIS-8 and flip through it real quick, head for the index, head for the table of contents. Maybe I remember reading something about this earlier, but I just don't remember what it was. That's what a generalist does. They learn what they need to know, but they also make a note of where they kind of learned that and how they can get more. You do need to go far and wide. not only because we as information professionals, library people, librarians, whatever you want to call us, we're expected to have this wide swath of knowledge because life in general is easier if you know a little bit about everything. Study variably and widely. I mean, my first list up there, the different kinds of books I'm reading, that's just what's on my desk. I read a lot of stuff at the same time. I can have 10 books going at the same time because I'm not reading but maybe two of those books cover to cover. So I'm just flipping through stuff, picking up things here and there. It's kind of like what people do with Wikipedia these days, where you go to Wikipedia, you click a link, and then you just read until you find another interesting link to click, and you just keep learning tidbits and new things here and there. It's the old school version of that with a book. I find a book that interests me, or on a subject that interests me, and then I just read through until I find some place that, you know, I don't care about this thing. I'll just skip to the next thing. Oh, this is interesting. I'll read this. And then I might read, you know, 5 or 6 pages there, or maybe even 100 pages if it continues on that topic. And then when I get to something that I'm not all that interested in, I just kind of skip that and I just skip around. I know that sounds bad to some people out there who are very adamant about reading a book cover to cover or getting everything you can out of a book. But really, that's not what books are for. Books are there to convey ideas and thoughts, and in some cases, information too. How you get that information is totally up to you. The author isn't going to come down on you for how you're using their book. The publisher certainly doesn't care. So in the end, the only person who is really accountable to how you use a book is you. Aaron Swartz, a pioneer of information and knowledge in his own right, said, "Be curious, read widely, try new things." I think what a lot of people call intelligence just boils down to curiosity. Now, if there was ever a reason for the active study of diversified subjects, it's the bolstering of your own intelligence. And that intelligence won't just help you. It's going to help your patrons. It's going to help the people that come into your library. And that brings us to sort of my final thought on this, which is share what you know. You don't have to be a professor, teacher, lecturer, writer, even a librarian to share your knowledge. I've got some people who listen to this show I know that aren't librarians. They're just interested in some of the tech stuff and for some reason like to listen to me. I still haven't figured out what's wrong with them, but we're conferring with psychologists and we'll get back to you. But there's an old saying that knowledge is power, and yet some people believe that knowledge shared is power lost. Now, I don't know about you, but this belief has no place in library work, and it certainly has no place in the world at large. Knowledge shared is power to the people. We all benefit from the spread of information, just as we all lose when relevant and accurate information is hoarded or withheld or kept secret. In the end, we're librarians, right? We answer questions and connect people with the things they want to know. So share the things you know. This has happened to me on many occasions where you're sitting at the desk, someone walks in and they have a question about something, and it turns out to be something that you know a lot about. So not only are you able to help them find, say, a couple books about that subject, you're able to provide more value than that. You're able to connect them with some database articles or direct them to this really great documentary about that subject. Or, hey, there's this magazine that I really like to read, and we've actually got a subscription to it here at the library. You should check that out too. And that's what the generalist does. Sure, after I'm done with that patron, someone comes in and asks about something that I don't know anything at all about, and I still do my best to help them in the same way. But you know what I've done before when I have someone come in that asks me a question that I don't know about? I try and figure out what the people that I work with know about. Everybody is an expert on something, whether it's all of the He-Man villains that were ever in the cartoon to how to perform appendectomies. Everybody's an expert on something. And if you can find that out, that can help you in the long run. Where someone comes in and wants to know the answer to some question, and you don't know anything about it, but maybe Walter over on the other side of the desk does. Walter's an expert on that subject. Or maybe Helen knows something about that. Let me go get Helen. She can tell you more about it than I can. And the reason I would know that is because Walter, Helen, and whoever else shared their knowledge with me. At the very least, they told me what they know. And I told them what I know. So when Walter or Helen or whoever runs into that problem themselves, they can come get me. Maybe I'm the subject specialist for that. But in the end, I try and know a little bit about everything. It just gets me through life a whole lot easier. So that about wraps up this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I do thank you for tuning in. And hey, it was a shorter show to make up for the last couple of shows, which were longer and probably a little longer winded with some tech heavy stuff. And this might give your brain a little break and give you some time to go listen to something that's a little more high quality in the podcasting realm. But hey, thank you for tuning in. I thank you for listening and hope you picked up some ideas on how generalism can not only help you, but help your patrons as well. The song you're currently listening to is Solar Rush by Redman. I picked that up at the Free Music Archive, which you can hit up at freemusicarchive.org. All kinds of great stuff over there. All kinds of genres, all kinds of styles, beautiful music, hard-hitting music, whatever you want. If you need something for a podcast or a video project or something like that, it's a really great place to start. And hey, if you just want something new to listen to, something that you haven't heard, great things over there. Hit up freemusicarchive.org, where you'll also find the opening track, which, as always, is Belly Dance at Ibisu by Ryo Miyashita. Have links to that in the show notes, which you can pick up at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Cyberpunk Librarian is hosted by the Internet Archive. If you haven't checked out the Internet Archive in a while at archive.org, you are doing something wrong. They've got some great stuff over there as well. They've got videos, they've got music and podcasts and all kinds of things. They've got Let's Play of some classic games, which I check out on a regular basis because, oddly enough, I do like watching people playing video games, especially the video games that I was never able to beat. I'm sorry, but some of that stuff on the Commodore 64 was just too difficult. If you'd like to drop me an email, you can do so at cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. Or you can hit me up on the Twitters. I am at Bibrarian. That's B-I-B-R-A-R-I-A-N. It's kind of like librarian, but with a B. And finally, you can also get me on Google+, where I hang out quite frequently. I am google.com/plus Daniel Messer. So pick me up there or just drop a comment in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Look for episode 18. Got an idea for a show? Got something else that I didn't cover on generalism that you think is really important? Hey, let me know. That is what that stuff is there for. So thank you for tuning in. I will see you again in 2 weeks with another episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. But before we get out of here, I just want to remind you that you don't have to be high tech to be low budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care. I'll see you next time.